Founded in 2001, the Vassar Haiti Project engages students in a life-changing experiential education in global citizenship, promoting Haitian art, and foster sustainable development in Haiti. In addition to the purchase and sale of original Haitian art, VHP's contributions are guided by six initiatives: education, healthcare, reforestation, clean water access, women's empowerment, and art. The Vassar Haiti Project's seventh annual Art and Soul Gala fundraiser is being held Thursday, April 25th, at the Vassar College Alumni House. This year, the Vassar Haiti Project honors Robert Morgenthau and Lucinda Franks for their extraordinary achievements in the fields of international social justice and literature. It's a great pleasure to welcome Vassar Haiti Project co-founders Andrew and Lila Mead, along with Lucinda Franks. Good morning, all. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
All right. So tell us about this particular, this seventh go-around of putting this all together.
Sure. Yeah. Art and Soul is about funding, but also really celebrating the fact that there is healthcare in the mountains, the Northwest Mountains of Haiti, where people otherwise have not had access to healthcare. About 3,000 people are served a year. They come from as many as 45 different villages, and some of them actually walk, believe it or not, 3 hours one way to get to this clinic.
Wow. So give us a sense of the work that has been accomplished over the past several years.
Well, this project was started 18 years ago by Andrew, and it initially started with Andrew Joe. He asked his boss at Vassar College, Colton Johnson, who was the dean of the college, what can we do to make a difference in the world and in education? And we decided that Haitian art, which was our passion, was something that could be that would resonate with people in the immediate area. And so we engaged Vassar College students to come in, and we started art sales. And you know, at that time we were just funding a little school, and over 18 years, you know, year by year, we grew exponentially.
And what is the in looking at that of working and in it, so go little by little, right? I mean, you have to just kind of chip away, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. In Haitian Creole, there's a saying, "Tipa tipa wazo fenishli." It means little by little, the bird makes its nest. And that's our model. We go step by step. We do what we can. We work in partnership. So everything that we do is working with and not for, not above, not to, but working equally with people in Haiti, with people in the U.S. To move forward in what ways that they want us to.
So give us a sense of this gala and how it came to be, and then we'll bring Lucinda into the conversation.
Well, about 5 or 6 years ago, some students who've been to Haiti said, we have to build a clinic. And we were just at that time funding a school. And we thought, how are we ever going to do this? We don't know anything about medicine or clinics. But little by little, we started engaging the population around Vassar. We spoke to Danny Aronson, Dr. Aronson, who was the CFO of Vassar Hospital at the time. And he said, let's get a team together. And we started raising money, a team of about five doctors and ourselves and students. And over that time, we now have I think we built the clinic over 2 or 3 years. Is that right, Andrew? And now it's actually a full functioning clinic. It used to service several hundred people a year. Now it's 3,000 villagers.
So, bring us to this year and the gala and how you came to honor these two extraordinary individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucinda's been a longtime supporter of what we do in many different respects, supporting our we have a secondary school scholarship program. She supports that, but she shows up. She comes to our events. She helps us produce our events. And she's very wise and knows how to get things done and make things happen in the world. And so we reach out to her for her wisdom all the time. And certainly her husband, Bob, is a, you know, stands for social justice in the world, and so very much has been an inspiration to us in the work that we do.
What brought you to the to the project and the interest in the work that was being done?
Well, I had been friends with Lila and Andrew for a while, and the Haiti Project, the Vassar Haiti Project, is so extraordinary. It kind of infiltrated me, and I finally went to Haiti this January, and to say it was a transformative experience is an understatement. Mm-hmm. I found myself climbing up a near vertical 2-hour mountain that I never thought I could do, supported when I slipped by two very solicitous Haitian artists. And when we reached the top, I didn't expect much. I'm a journalist. I've covered poverty sure. all over the world. And these villagers just hugged us and sang and danced around us. And I knew then that these were unusual people. They were so creative. They didn't have more than the shirt on their backs, but they wanted to learn. They were hungry to learn. I taught one little artist who wanted to make something of himself. And he said, "Could you teach me how to be a reporter?" in 2 days. And so I spent a lot of time with him, giving him lessons. I've continued to correspond with him. When I left Chemetra, the name of this little village that the Meads have built, and the students, I left Haiti, in a sense, as a Haitian. And I brought it home, and I had learned to kind of shed a layer of selfishness and do for my friends and my family what I saw the students in the project and what I had learned to do for these creative patients.
There's so many fascinating aspects to your story. Of course, I mean, beginning with the fact that you're an alum, you're a former Vassar
yes.
student. So when you see how this ignites them, I assume you feel that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, academia was when I was going to college and is a rather dry, abstract, usually abstract adventure. And these students who have learned to change the world the way they wanted to, are, you know, how all students want to,
right.
They do it microcosmically. They have seen how things can change, how the very poorest people can be lifted up and that they can be responsible for it. This is exhilarating for them, life-changing for them, and exhilarating for me to see. I just wish it had been there when I went to school.
Right. You know, one of the fascinating things, too, that I find in your story is that, of course, you're a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. You work for The New York Times, The New Yorker. You have covered these incredible stories. So for you to come upon a story and a situation that you find transformative and life-changing, that says a lot because journalists are generally thought of as, you know, very calloused.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. I was bewildered at the feelings that I had. And Lila and Andrew, very cleverly, have...
clever folks, you.
...have formed what everybody dreads, and that is meetings. At the end of the day, when we're exhausted, at 11 o'clock, we had to sit down with these debriefing meetings. And, you know, we were all grumbling about this until about the third one. And a wonderful student named Alex started to tell about her experience of the day and how she was able to change the life of one woman. And she began to cry. Then the next person told about what they had did, and she began to cry. By the end of the trip, these meetings had created such intimacy that it had, you know, it was changing for us as individuals and for the way we gave to Haitians and created intimacy with Haitians. And at the end, the toughest men were crying at the last meeting also.
Did you come upon it quickly that the meetings were important to kind of debrief and understand what was happening on the ground?
Yes, Joe, because when you go to Haiti, every day feels, first of all, like 2 days, because there's so much coming at you and you're trying to understand it, filter it, analyze it, you know, be a part of it. And there's so many things that are happening that we found that the debrief meetings actually gave each of us a chance to talk about one aspect of the trip that resonated with me and with each person. And then it really changed how we were going forward, because we all understood each other and we also understood what we were grappling with. It's very difficult to have a child come up to you and say they're hungry and you have food in your pocket, but you can't give it to them, because if you gave it to them, you would have to give it to every other person. So how do you deal with an emotion like that? And we found that the debrief meetings were a great venue for that.
How have the students, do you have, what kind of evidence or understanding do you have of students, even once they leave Vassar, of how they stay involved in what's happening on the ground in Haiti?
Sure, Joe. Yeah, several ways. One is that the students are constantly in communication. Students come. Alums come to our events. They'll come to events. We do events out on Long Island, on Washington, D.C., other places, Vassar. The alums come back. We'll sometimes have two dozen alums help produce an event. But even more so, they have, person after person have submitted testimonials as to how their participation in the Vassar Haiti Project, their ongoing participation, has helped them get to be who they are and also where they are. So regardless of what their major was or what field they're going into, it's kind of guided how they look at the world, and it also gives them useful skills to talk about during their interviews and on and on.
Let's talk just a little bit, Wyla, about the event itself and what will be going on and how it will play out.
Yeah, well, we've been planning it for 4 or 5 months so far. We work with the college students in planning the event. We have, I'd say, at least twice a week, we have meetings organizing one thing or another. We have about 35 sponsors, doctors and attorneys and people in the Hudson Valley who've contributed to this event. And so at the event itself, Bob and Lucinda will be speaking to all the guests who come. The students will be running the entire event. Mm-hmm. We have Vassar jazz musicians playing, and we actually have a Haitian singer. Her name is Naika, and she's going to be serenading all of us, and we're going to be wined and dined by Twisted Soul in Poughkeepsie, New York.
And you're also going to have a film, is that right?
Yes, we are going to have a film, and it's going to show a little bit about, you'll actually get to see Lucinda in Haiti, as well as some of our projects, and also some of the important work that Bob Morgenthau has done in the world.
Well, it is just amazing work that is being done, and you can find out about the Vassar Haiti Project by going to their website. It's thehaitiproject.org, thehaitiproject.org. That will also have information about the 7th Annual Art and Soul Gala fundraiser that is happening on Thursday, April 25th at the Vassar College Alumni House. It is a wonderful, thank you so much, Andrew and Lila and Lucinda, for being with us and sharing with us and for the beautiful work you're all doing. It's a great pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having us here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Be well. Again, the Vassar Haiti Project's 7th Annual Art and Soul Gala fundraiser is April 25th, Thursday, at the Vassar College Alumni House. To learn more, thehaitiproject.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.